Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
It takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. At the top of the show, we played Owl Eyes Raiders.
Now, Jade, look, we're going to miss our friends from the Hump Day crew, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
They're taking a break.
Yes, they are taking a break.
And, you know, for me, it's just not the same. It's not the same. Wednesdays aren't the same without the Hump and Strokes.
Yes.
You know, the Hump and the Strokes always go together. That's been our thing for the last few months. So I'm going to miss them. But, you know, Ginny's going to still be on air.
Yes.
She's going to be on Wednesday nights. Raining, definitely, for sure. So, but there's some very exciting news for all you strokers out there, all you listeners of Different Strokes, Jade. We are moving earlier.
Yes, we're going to be on at 7.
7? That's like prime time. It's crazy. We've never been that early before, have we?
Look, at least we're not having to compete against MasterChef anymore, because I know that strokers are big MasterChef fans.
Are they really? You've done your research on our listenership.
Yeah, I've done extensive audience research. Our friend James, who is
a very long time Different Strokes listener.
He's a very long time. He's probably the let's be honest. He's probably the only stroker out there. And he's a big MasterChef fan, I'm sure.
Look, I have to say, you know, we would like to thank people at Joy for obviously believing in Different Strokes and thinking that we can, you know, go a bit earlier and we have something to offer at an earlier time slot. So as of next week, 7 to 8. That's when Different Strokes is going to be on.
Welcome to Different Strokes Online. Log in to hear Jade and Dave's perspectives on online media.
The internet should not be used as a high-tech babysitter. We need to make sure that when our kids surf the web, they don't drown.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, I have a new app.
You have a new app that can I say that you're addicted to it, or you're becoming addicted to it?
Look, I wouldn't say I'm addicted to it, but purely because not many of my friends are on it. And, you know, it's kind of like one of those, you need to have friends to play on it. It's called Hanging with Friends.
So as the name suggests, you're going to need somebody to do this with you.
Yeah, yeah. And like, you know, a couple months back, I talked about Words with Friends, which is basically Scrabble that you're playing, you know, on an app against other people who are in fact your friends.
I hope so.
Yeah, well, you can play random games, but I just find that weird, you know, because people want to chat, because there's a chat capacity in it, and you know, they want to chat.
But isn't it fun, like on a social level, that you get to meet strangers while you're playing a
game?
I would
rather chat to people I already know. In that,
typical Jade.
Yeah. I don't need some weird social interaction. Anyways, hanging with friends, how it's different. Hangman Dave, do you remember it?
Yes, I know. I used to be quite an expert. Yeah. I'm very good at Hangman.
So what it's done is it's taken the concept of Hangman, where basically you've got a word and you've got a certain amount of strikes in which you have to
guess what it is.
And if you hang the man,
We all know how Hangman works. So this is Hangman, but with friends.
But and how it's different, right? So they've got you've got your little avatar, and he's holding these balloons over this massive waterfall of lava.
Oh hell no!
Yep, and with you get a certain amount of strikes to guess a word. So the other person comes up with a word. The longer the word, the less strikes you get. So if they come up with an 8-letter word, say for an example, you only get 4 strikes. Mm. But if you come up with a 4-letter word, they get 8 strikes. Mm. So
it's fair.
Well, yeah, sure.
Okay, well, you don't feel that it's fair.
No, well, like, Dave, here's the thing about me and apps. I like playing with apps and I get addicted to apps, but I'm not very good at games.
Oh, okay.
And luckily,
you've failed quite a few times.
Luckily, I'm not a sore loser. And basically, each time you get one wrong, you drop down a little lower because you've got one less balloon.
Mm.
And then the first one to drop into the pit of lava is the loser of the game.
Well, Jade, you know, it seems like a simple concept, and it seems I don't know if I can necessarily be addicted to an app like that,
mm-hmm.
because I don't think it's as stimulating as, say, playing Scrabble, like, you know, for instance, Words with Friends. I don't think it's as mentally stimulating. I think I could be over it maybe in a few hours.
Well, I think, there's probably a bit more strategy that comes into Scrabble, though, to be honest, I don't play with any strategy, and that's probably why I'm crap at it. But, you know, with something like Hangman or Hanging with Friends, where the strategy comes in is if you're the one coming up with the word, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, and you've got that you're assigned a certain letters, so you can only work within the constraints of the letters that you're given. So it's not like you can pick any word under the sun.
Oh, really?
And let them guess.
No,
it's like you've got 12 tiles.
So let me say, okay, let's do this hypothetically. You're the one who's creating the words.
Mm-hmm.
As me, as someone who's guessing and trying to save my man from falling into a waterfall of lava,
mm-hmm.
do I know what letters are involved?
No.
Okay, so the element of surprise is still as good for me as the player, as the person guessing.
You get the last vowel of the word.
Oh, so you get that. Oh, that's too bad.
And that's all you get to work with.
But that means that you have to have a vowel in whatever word you're creating for me.
Yes.
So you can't do like rhythm.
No.
Okay, well that's...
Unless they count a Y.
I don't, no, honey. No. Y is not a vowel. Never, ever. Ask anybody who knows anything about the English language.
Well, that's funny because my girlfriend, who is American, swears black and blue that it is.
Y is a vowel?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I have not heard of this, okay. ever. I need to look this up.
Yeah.
I need to look this up because how is Y a vowel? I don't know. I need to look this up. I need to talk to your girlfriend.
Yeah, some word nerd needs to let us know.
Yeah, well, she's a school teacher, so, you know, I'll probably trust her word on it.
Yeah.
But it's weird for me.
She does teach primary school, Dave.
Yeah, but still, you know, that's why it's important for her to know what
the
actually
fundamentals.
Is. Yeah, look, she needs to know her vowels.
Mm-hmm.
So if she's wrong, I need to tell her she's wrong, that Y is not
so she's
a
not educating the adults of tomorrow that Y is in fact a vowel.
Exactly right. Culture. The attitudes and behaviour characteristic of a particular social group.
Welcome to Different Strokes Culture.
You're listening to Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. Dave, you are very excited about board games, and so is someone else who says their favourite. It's Jacob. Jacob says his favourite board game, Monopoly.
Monopoly. Everybody loves Monopoly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Monopoly is one of those board games where you do need a bit of strategy, but it's not a very complicated strategy.
Let me tell you, Dave, I was playing a game of Monopoly recently with my girlfriend. She did not appreciate Monopoly when I started beating her.
Oh. And was your strategy just buy everything?
Yes. My strategy is buy everything.
Yes, girl.
If I land on it, I buy it. That's my strategy.
I don't know. I'm a bit selective. Like, I would not touch Old Kent Road. Well, I'm just that kind of snob.
No, that kind of thing, it comes in handy.
What can Old Kent Road ever do to you?
Well, if
you're in debt, you landed in one of those things where you have to pay out like your billions of hotels. Old Kent Road is not going to come for your rescue. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it is. But then think about it. The amount of, if you put like some hotels on Old Kent Road, right, it's right near the go.
Yeah, but nobody's going to... Look, I think the old Kent Road stuff, like the two brown ones, work if you have maybe Park Lane and Mayfair.
Mm-hmm.
So that way you've got the really rich one, and then as they turn the corner, you've got the poor one.
What you've got to do is get the whole corner, Dave. So yep, it doesn't matter where they land, they're in the corner.
Yep. So that's kind of my strategy with Monopoly. You got to get the corners.
Mm-hmm.
So Monopoly is one of my favorite board games. And, mm-hmm. you know, I guess what we wanted to talk about tonight is just... the culture of board games or games nights, so mm-hmm. to speak. I feel like games night is maybe something our parents did. I don't know. It feels like something of our parents' generation, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Or like a family thing. Because when I was growing up, you know, my uncle, my aunties, they were big on games night. So they would invite my family over and, you know, both our families would play like a game of Monopoly or mm-hmm. Pictionary. It's another popular one.
Mm-hmm.
But... you know, I feel like maybe I haven't done that in a very long time.
Well, you know, now that you can actually play it, because let's be honest, Dave, a lot of the reason that you've got those now, the problems with games now is the video games, right? Like
in a digital age.
But right, you can actually now play things like Monopoly on...
online and on like a video game. No, yeah. Jade, I don't want to go into that because I feel like, you know, so much of our show is obviously based around technology
yes.
and what's happening and
mm-hmm.
apps and all that. And I'm aware that there are apps out there that replace things like Scrabble. But, you know, I'm talking about that old school.
Look, I'm a big fan of the old school stuff. I'll sit there and play a game of chess.
You see, I want like a night in where, you know, there's like maybe four or five of us or... I don't know, six, just to make it equal so everyone has a partner.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, I want one of those old school games nights. And I feel
Twister?
Twister is a little too physical for me.
Yeah.
Is that a board game?
Well, I think it counts as a board game, doesn't it? It's in the board game section.
Yeah, it's in a board game section, but I don't know about doing Twister. Like, I don't want to be touching on people's bits and,
yeah.
you know.
There could be too much closeness involved.
Yeah, definitely. So I was feeling like maybe for our Different Strokes party that I know you're going to host eventually.
Yeah, yeah.
With our Different Strokes party, we should kind of make it like a board games night, you know?
With a dance party as well.
With a dance party, yes. You know, let's just try to be super ambitious.
Yeah.
But things like Scrabble, things like Monopoly, Pictionary, Cranium. Let me tell you.
I've never played Cranium.
Oh, Jade, I have got a story about Cranium.
Mm-hmm.
The one and only time I've tried to host a games night at my place,
mm-hmm.
I invited my then boyfriend, obviously, was there. So that was both of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we invited, I think, two other couples. And we had dinner. It was lovely. It was one of those events where you bring a dish and we all have dinner together. And then we played a board game. And mm-hmm. the board game of my choice was Cranium. So... here's the situation, and this is the one and only time I've decided to host a games night. Jade, it turned ugly.
Oh, yeah.
It got very ugly. Somebody threw a tantrum, and it was the new boyfriend.
Oh.
You know what it's like. Like, you know, you have your clique of friends. And
you invite the boyfriend.
Yeah. You invite the new boyfriend, and, you know, you kind of want your friends to accept your new boyfriend, but your friends have to get to know this new boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes... the new boyfriend doesn't do a very good first impression. Not if he's throwing a tantrum.
Throwing a tantrum over Cranium, not a good first impression?
Girl, that is not the look. That is never the look. Throwing a tantrum not only over a board game, but in my house? Like physically throwing things across ooh. The room? Ooh. I was just sitting there in shock. I'm like, this is my party.
Mm-hmm.
You're throwing a tantrum. You are 30. Ooh, not the look.
No.
So I'm very careful about what happens with games night.
I often find myself on the wrong end of competitiveness, Dave, because I'm not very competitive by nature when it comes to any... like, I like playing games for the fun of it. Yeah. I don't, like, you know, I'd happily play something. If I win, that's good, but whatever. You know, it's just good. I've been on the wrong end of so many, like Trivial Pursuit, for example.
Ooh.
My girlfriend and I have played, I got Trivial Pursuit of the 90s, right? I got given that as a gift. And we started playing it. And she decided that it was biased against her because there were too many Australian questions. And I said, you know what? I spend a lot of my time surrounded by American culture and we get American board games. how, if I can answer those questions, you can answer these. And, you know, that did not go down well.
She did not want to hear that. That was not what she needed in her life.
You say that it's about pop artist with character.
Pop artist with character.
Forget what you've heard. Could you listen to Strummy Lala music, as I like to call it?
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave.
Look, Jade, we have an email here sent from Craig.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we can tell that Craig is all up in Joy's business because he has the Joy 94.9 app.
Yes.
How amazing is it? I love that app. It's a free app that you can obviously get from the iTunes store, free to download, and you can stream our show, send us emails, send us texts through that. It's amazing. So we've got a message here from Craig.
He said, I loved the Beyonce track.
Jade needed a moment there because she just threw me a look that was just like, that Beyonce track.
I have missed listening to you guys. I'm making my return tonight. Long overdue, Craig from Point Cook.
Oh, Craig, it's nice to have you back with us. But hey, don't stay up too late because as of next week, Different Strokes is going from 7 to 8.
Mm-hmm.
We're going prime time, baby. Mm-hmm. Join us. Madam Jade, look, Liam Finn. I took one look at him, like I Google imaged him, because I need to know what my indie artists look like. I'm superficial like that. I listen to pop music, so I'm groomed that way to pay attention to appearances.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to shave.
Oh, yeah. You're not approving of the
beard situation?
Yeah.
I like a man with facial hair. That's generally my preference, but
he's not very kept, is he?
Girl, it's like a bush, and, you know, if it's big enough to house a small family of rodents, I'm going to say no. I'm going to say you need to take care of your beard.
I've got a theory on that, Dave, and it could be that he's just, you know, kind of a bit alternative. But I think maybe, you know, he's obviously the son of Neil Finn. So, you know, one of the most popular Australian New Zealand musicians.
Mm. Iconic, yeah.
Perhaps if without the beard, he's very Neil-like in looks.
Do you reckon?
I don't know. And maybe he's trying to, you know, just be like, I'm my own man. I'm not the clean cut, you know, Neil Finn.
Yeah, I get where he's coming from. I mean, that's probably not the rationale. Maybe he just really likes his beard.
I think maybe he likes the beard, but, you know, I'm just kidding.
But if he looks a lot like his father, then, you know, it pays to maybe difference yourself a bit.
Anyways, his album...
FOMO. I have to say it in that Bogue accent.
Urban Dictionary, Dave.
What does it say?
Fear of missing out.
So it stands for FOMO, fear of missing out.
Yeah.
See, for me, before you told me that, I thought FOMO might have stand for FOMOsexual, as in faux, you know, like the French word for fake, faux. FAUX. So FOMOsexual.
Apparently not, Dave. No. Fear of missing out.
Fear of missing out. He's just not a fake homo.
Yeah. And the context in which you would use that is, you know, there's a party or there's some event going on and you're afraid that you are going to miss out on that.
Okay. I understand that. Yeah. I don't know if it's necessarily something I will put in my daily lexicon.
Well, yeah.
You know, when I'm tweeting or texting someone, FOMO.
So you're not going to name an album after it or anything?
No, but I'm sure there's a reason behind why he's done this.
Dave, look, I don't know a huge amount about Liam Finn, and I've heard bits and pieces of his music from time to time, but I remember a friend of mine at one point went to see him live and said what he does live is incredible because basically what he does is he does all the music himself. So he sets up a drum machine, puts it on a loop.
Oh, wow.
And then he gets... you know, the guitar's out and, you know, it's just like kind of this whole experience. And when I listen to this album, it is seriously this kind of soundscape is going on. It starts with this simple sound that's, you know, might be a drum beat or something, and then there's just looping on top of that, and then there's another layer, and then there's another layer, and there's another layer. He's definitely not your classic strummy la-la artist at all. Every song on the album has so much going on in it.
But in a good way, right? It's not in an overcrowded way.
No, it's like I don't know. I kind of think of it more like something like the podcast Radio Lab, for example, Dave, one of my favorite podcasts, has so it's so much layering and sound in it that you could listen to it a lot and be still be trying to figure out what's going on.
It's intriguing. Yeah.
And then, I mean, and it's not just, it's almost like there's parts of it that to me sound electropop in musically, but in a more organic way. Like, you know how a lot of electropop, you know, and even indie artists that do that kind of sound, they've got, it kind of still sounds a bit manufactured or fake almost, or like, I mean, separate.
Like, I mean, looking at electronic or digital music itself, I mean, if you're a producer, if you've ever played with, I don't know, like GarageBand or anything like that, you know that there's so many different types of drum patterns. And I find that having that background in, you know, composing your own music and all that, hearing a lot of pop songs out there, you always feel like, or hearing a lot of indie pop songs, you always feel like they're using the same synths or same drum patterns and all that. So there's definitely, people tend to gravitate around the same-ish things. So I'm kind of curious about Liam Finn's album, whether it does definitely sound very different from the kind of drum patterns or drum loops or synths that other indie bands are using, you know?
Well, I look, if you want to compare it in terms of other releases that have been out recently, I would say, you know, something like the John Steele Singers or Hungry Kids of Hungary, that kind of sound.
It's organic.
Yeah, it's very... you know, there's a lot going on, but to me it doesn't sound like someone's got synths laying a hot top. You know, there's no little computer in the background that's putting all of this together. You know what I mean? It feels like kind of that experience that my friend told me about, seeing him on the stage where he's got the drum machine and then he's got, you know, the next thing on and the next thing. You know what I mean?
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.